Hello, beautiful people. Thank you so much for being here today for episode 119 of the Sunrose Yoga Podcast. I'm really excited because this particular class I recorded just this morning at my early morning Hatha class at the People's Yoga in Northeast Portland. And we're under this beautiful waning crescent moon called the balsamic moon. And it's clear and cold here in Portland, in the Northern Hemisphere. And we spend a bit of time at the beginning of class talking about that and how we can support our practice and ourselves in this time. And one of the ways that we can do this is by dropping into the belly, into the solar plexus, Manipura chakra. And we'll talk more about that over the next couple weeks, but we began there today. And we make our way into Shirshasana, headstand, with three blocks. And I made a video about this a while back. And this method of practicing headstand involves no pressure on the head. So no weight on your head, please. That's how we make it sustainable. Thank you so much for being here. It's a delight and one of my greatest treasures to share this space with you. So I wish you fire in your heart. Jai. So today, does everybody have three blocks? We are going to eventually practice our three block headstand. And the way that I teach it and the way that we practice it, there should be no weight on your head. So there should be no impact on your cervical spine, your neck. But I just like to say at the beginning of class that like your feet don't ever need to leave the ground for you to be in the pose. And that will become more clear as we work into it. But I think that is a good sort of energy to hold all of our work in, that it doesn't have to look, you know, like the yoga journal calendar for it to be the pose. Those of you who come regularly know this because I am a broken record. I say it a lot, but I really do mean it. How's everybody feeling with this change in weather? Yeah. Yes. Yes. All of this, yes. I feel like I love gathering data.
And I feel like I want to hibernate.
Yeah. It's very like, So we'll do a little work to create some heat internally and also to like stoke the heart fire, which is sort of like getting into this Manipura chakra, the solar plexus center, which in a lot of systems, a lot of modalities, like this, they call this the true heart. So when we kind of get in there, we're like, when we get into our gut, when we heal through here, like we're getting at our heart. So, along those lines, I have the harmonium. We will sing. The harmonium has been acting kind of weird lately, and I think it's because it's cold. So, please be gentle with your thoughts about her. And some of the sounds that we sing are sounds like ma and om. And because we're under this beautiful waning moon, you might sing moon. And the bij, or the seed sound associated with our Manipura, is ram. Sometimes people sing it rum. You can experiment with both. Rum, rum.
And the way that we make the sounds is I'll play some notes, and we'll find our upright seats, our breathing seats, and then as the sounds come to you, just make them. And don't worry about whether it's the same sound that your neighbor's singing, or don't worry about it sounding like any sound you've ever heard before. And it has a way of just sort of naturally fading out. Might let your awareness drop to the solar plexus or rise to the solar plexus. And just sort of be with or feel around right there at the upper belly, right there at the true heart. In your own time, in your own way, we'll move toward all fours, hands and knees, table pose. And you might bring your two squishier blocks with you to the top of the mat, if they're not already.
Really thoughtfully, slowly, methodically place your body. You might sort of move your hands around on the floor until you find the placement that feels just right. And you might move your knees and your feet around. You know, it's sort of like a cat or a dog might. They're sort of like getting their spot. Clawing your fingertips into the floor, maybe spreading the fingers wide. Maybe organizing your hands so that either the index fingers are parallel to each other or the space between the index and middle fingers. And we'll let some movements happen, letting them originate right at the heart. So as you breathe in, let your heart drop below the grade of your shoulders. So the heart sort of sags, noticing what happens. And as you breathe out, press the palms of the hands into the floor and let the heart start to float up. The back of the heart sort of pulls the front of the heart above the grade of the shoulders. And as you breathe in, let the heart drop down. Notice what else happens. And as you breathe out, press the palms into the floor and let the heart rise up, bubble up. And we'll do this a handful of times, you know, sort of approaching these essential, elemental shapes, cat and cow, from the perspective of the heart, the center of the chest. Letting the movement originate there and noticing, you know, how far out from the epicenter you feel it. Give yourself lots of space to have this experience, to find your way into the shapes, just as you do. Smaller or quieter, closer to the spine. If the movement were represented by like waves across the spine, the waves are just getting tinier and tinier. Until you arrive in spaces where it's hard to tell whether you're moving. And once you're there, you know, in that place where probably from the outside it looks like nothing's happening, which is where the yoga is happening, take a breath into the fullness of the back of the body. And as you breathe out, start to move your hips toward your heels and your forehead toward the floor, Bhaktasana, devotional. Use the length of the breath. And as you breathe in, pull your body back toward a table, all fours, chakravartin. And as you breathe out, we'll tuck the toes under. We'll start to move the hips toward the heels before lifting the knees away from the floor, letting the heart start to descend toward downward facing dog, Adho Mukha Svanasana. And we'll breathe into table. Breathe out to devotional for Bhaktasana. And we'll move like that at the pace of your own breath for a handful of breaths, feeling your way in. Even if you've done these shapes 1,000 times, or this tiny vinyasa 1,000 times. and this be the only time. Be in it completely. Inhabiting the shapes, noticing sensation. And you might find it useful or helpful to bring your awareness, you know, to like one part of the body, as we did with our cat and cow, and experience the shapes, you know, from the perspective of the tip of your nose or the sacrum or your right index finger or something like that. And the next time you find yourself exhaling to Bhaktasana devotional, we'll just pause there for a couple of breaths. We'll linger in that shape. Really getting to know gravity and noticing where you feel it, how you feel it, and then also noticing where you seem to be resisting it. And all of it is normal, so we're just noticing. And you might start to walk your right fingertips forward on the floor a little bit toward the front of the mat, lengthening the right side of the body. But as you do that, even as you're lengthening from, you know, your right hip or your right booty all the way out through the fingertips, can you be with the buoyancy of your left lung as well? So there's some stability happening. There's some, you know, a sense of equanimity from left to right, even though we're creating a little asymmetry. And then walk those right fingers back to their original place. Notice what you feel there at the center. And then walk the left fingers forward just a bit. Being with that length of the left side of the body, but being with the buoyancy in the right lung. Like just feeling it as puffed and as perked, as shiny as the right. And then walking that left hand back to its neutral position and just noticing again. And in time, we'll let a breath in, draw the body back toward table. And you might find your way to downward facing dog. You could also stay in table if that's more your medicine. And in time, as it comes to you, let the breath in be an invitation to step the right foot forward between the hands to a lunge. And we'll place the hands onto the block so we get lots of space for both of the lungs. The left knee can be lifted or on the earth. And we'll come back to that idea of letting the movement originate in one place and seeing how that affects the entire body. So as you breathe in, you might imagine that you're being lifted by your hips. Noticing how the right leg straightens, the head becomes heavy, and the spine rounds. And as you breathe out, ease your way back into the lunge, almost like you're just being set down by the hips, softly and sweetly. Breathing in, being lifted by the hips, noticing how the leg straightens, the head becomes heavy, the spine rounds. And easing back into the lunge. And we'll do it a handful of times, and there's lots of space for you to experiment here. We will all do it slightly differently, if we're lucky. If we really listen to our bodies, we'll do it differently. And the gateway to yoga, you know, the gateway to the yoga that is just being with what's actually happening, is to follow what already interests you. So if there's a part of your body that's fascinating, or an experience within your body that's fascinating, just stay with that. That is concentration. That is dharana. And maybe the next time that you exhale into your beautiful, long, luxurious lunge, we'll stay there for a couple of breaths and just be with the length of your body that's already happening. Sometimes our internal chatter is, you know, sort of tuned to, I'm so tight, why can't I be this way or that way? And we can sort of mute that by noticing the length that's already happening. And you might bring your awareness to the center of your left heel and just trace the path internally from the center of the heel all the way to the center of the forehead. And in time, we'll let a breath in sort of bring the hands back to the earth, back to a more stable place. And as you breathe out, we'll ease our way back to either downward facing dog or to puppy, where the knees and the forearms are on the floor, but the spine is yet so long, or to bhaktasana, devotional, or some other shape that is the medicine for your spine. Yeah, oh, beautiful. And you might, just for the sake of attuning internally, invite the shoulders to soften away from the ears, non-aggressively. And you might bring your awareness to the bottom of the shoulder blades and just invite them to move like a millimeter closer to the hips. And can you breathe into the fullness of the back of the body? And as you breathe out, just let your awareness pool into the front of the body. And as it comes to you, either from table or from downward facing dog, we'll let the breath in be the invitation for the left foot to step forward between the hands, placing the hands onto the blocks, and we'll align so that the knee is no farther forward than the ankle on the left side. So you have lots of room. And you can always scooch your right foot back if you need more room. And at the pace of your own breath, we'll move from the hips, feeling them being sort of drawn up with the breath in, and then gently set back down with the breath out. And we'll do that a handful of times. And I think it's helpful to remember that there's no ideal shape here. Like, there's nothing you could be doing better than you already are. The idea is awareness. And maybe the next time or two that you're exhaling back into the lunge, we'll pause there and be with the length of the body that's already happening. And you might, as you sort of trace the path from one end to the other end of the body, like, can you notice, like, as you walk your awareness across the crease of the hip, like how much space is already happening there, how much untangling is already happening. And we'll breathe in and place the hands back on the floor. And as you breathe out, step back to something like downward facing dog, or puppy, or anahatasana, or bhaktasana. Letting there be ease. Right up the skin, yeah. And that's not to say that this pose is easy, it's not. But we can find ease, that's the yoga, finding the ease within challenge. I say that like it's so easy, but it's not. We all know that. Like that's the work of our lives. And so with a breath in, either from down dog or from table, we'll find our way back into a lunge, right foot forward. And this could either be a high lunge, where your left knee is lifted, or a low lunge where your left knee is on the floor, up to you. And we'll play with this idea of softness at the skin, structure at the core. If your back knee is on the earth, keep the toe tucked under so that there's an engagement. And for everybody, engage at the left glutes. And also, just sort of a little more structure, can you draw your shins toward the midline? So the useful analogy for me is pretend you're doing this in socks on a freshly waxed floor and you don't want to do the splits. So there's an engagement happening. Can you imagine that? Like that would be such a terrible idea. For me at least. But so that engagement. And from there, let your tailbone be a little bit heavy. Draw your belly button toward the spine. Nice. So we have structure happening, lots of internal structure, hard to see from the outside. From here, if it feels stable, bring the hands to the top of the right thigh, keeping all that structure. Let your heart bloom. Yeah. If you feel stable, with a breath in, let's sweep the arms, hands, and fingers to the sky. And as you breathe out, sort of soften at the skin. So the structure is still there. It's supporting the parts of our body where we might be hypermobile. But we're soft right at the skin. There's ease. Nice. Now just to attune to our shoulders a little bit, what would happen if you turn the palms of your hands to face forward and then turn the palms to face the sky and press up through the heel of the hands while still softening into the shoulders? Nice. Let's breathe in and reach the hands forward and down toward the blocks. We'll place the left hand on that block or on the floor, and we'll bring the right hand to the top of the thigh or to the hip or the sacrum. Take in a breath here into the length of your body. And as you breathe out, start to twist to the right, beginning with the face, letting that move into the throat and across the chest, keeping the hips stable. Nice. Yeah, so it turns into this twist for the upper back. Beautiful. As you breathe in, start slowly to untwist. And as you breathe out, mosey back toward down dog or something like it. Puppy, devotional. Nice. in a forearm table. Yeah. Now, for some of you, it will make sense to clasp your hands and interlace them. And for some of you, it will make sense to keep the hands, the palms flat on the floor. Either way is perfect. Organize your body so that the elbows are right below the shoulders, which is closer together than you might imagine. Slowly now, we'll extend the left leg straight back. Press the ball of that foot into the floor. This could be your pose. If you'd like to experiment going deeper, extend the right leg as well. Press the ball of that foot into the floor. Press out through the heels. And at the pace of your own breath, as you breathe in, we'll glide forward a couple of inches, moving the heart in the general direction of the hands. And as you breathe out, glide back to your first position. So it's a horizontal movement, gliding forward, gliding back.
And I'll just state the obvious, because I am so good at that.
This is hard. This is subtle. And an interesting thing to do is when things start to get hard, notice how you're talking to yourself. And if it's something like, oh my God, why I need to do this every day? Oh, everyone else is so much stronger than me. Or something like that. First of all, you're totally normal. And second of all, like once you let yourself have that reaction, can you come back to something more interesting? Like, what sensations am I feeling? All right, maybe one more if you've still got one in you. And in time, make your way back toward Bhaktasana. Devotional, booty resting near the heels, forehead resting near the floor. Get to know gravity.
And in time, we'll make our way either to table or to downward facing dog, wherever your preferred
takeoff point for a lunge is. Launch pad, that's the word I was looking for. And in time, with a breath in, we'll step the left foot forward and we'll create that lunge with structure at the core and ease at the surface. And again, your right knee, it might be on the floor, it might be lifted, you might change partway through. All of that is good, all of that is wonderful. And we'll begin with that sensation, just the big awareness of our glutes. Your butt muscles are enormous. I mean, like, relatively speaking, that sounded terrible. Use them. Oh, you guys, I'm terrible. That was worst thing to say ever. All right, so engage the glutes, the gluteus, and then that subtle midline movement, shins drawing in toward the midline, shine out through your right heel, let the tailbone be heavy, the belly finds the back of the body to support your mid-back. Hands come to the top of the thigh. Nice. If it feels stable, let the heart bloom. And if this feels stable, nice, everybody. Breathe in and sweep the arms, hands, and fingers to the sky. Breathe out and soften a little bit everywhere. Maybe your hands can be just a little softer. Maybe your face can be just a little bit softer. The breath in, we'll reach the hands forward and down to the blocks. Find some stability, planting the right hand right underneath the shoulder, either on the floor or the block.
left hand comes either to the top of the thigh or the hip or the sacrum. Engage your right glutes. So we're keeping everything down low, super close to the center. And as you breathe out, let the twist start to happen from the top, from the face, into the throat, into the shoulders, into the heart. And that true heart, that's sort of like where we anchor here, where the anchor begins. We're anchored from the solar plexus to the tailbone, so no real twisting is happening down there. And as you take a breath in, one twist. Breathe out to down dog. And I'm just going to give you fair warning that another one of those little challenging exercises is coming up for the core. So we'll breathe in and lower the knees to the earth. And we'll breathe out and lower the elbows to the earth. And so this time, the interesting things are, some of the interesting things are happening right at the inner edges of the shoulder blades. So you might focus your awareness there unless something else draws you away. And in time, we'll extend one leg and then both legs behind us, pressing out through the heels. And this time, as you breathe in, let your heart sag below the grade of the shoulders. And as you breathe out, press it back up. And as you breathe in, let the heart sag. And as you breathe out, press it back up. And it's sort of interesting, like, once you let yourself get over that initial, oh shit, this is hard, can you come to your inner shoulder blades? I feel like I've been really good about not swearing. And then there one, I just let one fly. Yeah, oh, I wish you could see the shoulder blades. This is fascinating. Maybe two more, if it feels good. And in time, we'll again come to simmer in Bhaktasana devotional. Bum toward the heels. Forehead toward the floor. And notice what you feel. And with a breath in, we'll make our way toward table. And from table, we'll shift our weight, we'll sort of tuck the toes under, move our weight back, booty toward heels, walking the hands toward the knees, lifting the knees, and coming to a forward fold. Just dangling here. Let the crown of the head be heavy. Let the back of the skull be soft. Again, use what props, including the wall, that feel right. There's nowhere you need to get to here. The idea is to sort of cascade from the hips. Yeah, oh, beautiful. And in time, we'll press the feet into the floor. And with a breath in, we'll either roll up with a curved back or come up with strong legs and a flat back.
to practice a mudra. And the one that feels right is Abhyasa, Abhaya, fear not. And to make the mudras in this gathering, the way that we've been doing them is letting the mudra itself, the idea behind it, form our hands. And so to find our way in, let's breathe in and sweep the arms around and up. And as you breathe out, bend at the elbows so that you have sort of like goalpost cactus arms. And let there be a softness everywhere. And you might let your eyes soften. And as you breathe in, think to yourself, fear not. And as you breathe out, you might think, I am not afraid. You might breathe in and think, fear not. And I am not afraid. And as you soften in the hands, allow them to just take the form that fear not, I am not afraid, brings to them. And with your next breath out, you might release your arms down and just look at the shape that your hands have taken. And something that I've been doing with this and with some embodied mantra is, in the future, if you find yourself in need of a little bit of fear not, I am not afraid, your hands know what to do, and that can remind you of the feeling. And let it go. So, with no fear, we are going to practice the three block headstand. And the idea behind this particular version is that there's no pressure on the head and there's no compression on the cervical spine. And the setup will be using the wall, the cork block on the bottom in its tallest position, and the squishy blocks on top in their flattest positions. The squishy blocks touch the wall. The brick, the cork brick, is sort of variable. And so we'll get set up like this. Squishies against the wall. Space between the wall and the cork block. And I can demonstrate it and then talk you through it. Or if you know it and you just want to cut to the chase, you're always welcome. And so the idea is to start in table, as we have been, and to come down to our elbows and to wrap the fingers around the back of the cork brick. Notice how close together my elbows are. And if you can't see, come closer. They're close together. Let the head just drop. Breathe into the fullness of the back of the body. Tuck the toes under and lift the hips. Holding the brick, walk your body back so your head makes contact with the bottom brick and until your upper back makes contact with the upper bricks. This is the pose. Look, my head is free. And from here, like, this could be your pose for the rest of your life, and you're getting all of the benefits of the shape. You might experiment with what it feels like to lift one foot up off the floor. And in time, you might experiment with both.
This version, unlike regular headstand, it is okay if you feel stable to kick up. Do not ever do that if weight is on your head. There are very few times where I say do not do something. Those of you who know, who come regularly, this is one of them.
So find your little setup, and if your spot isn't quite right at the wall, feel free to move. There's more room over here by the harmonium. She doesn't need to take all this space. And always, 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 if you have any questions, let me know. Your fingers are really wrapped around the cork block, holding onto it, so that your pinky fingers are touching the floor.
Yeah.
Amy, if your spot, that looks a little slightly wonky just with the wall and that height. Do you want to come be at my setup or over here?
Sure.
If anything feels wonky about your setup, you're free to move around. We've got lots of room.
What is this pose doing?
Well, so tell me. Get into
okay.
it and tell me.
Okay.
Because we can also have a little conversation about that. What they say the benefits of this pose are, and what I found with my month of doing it every day, just for data.
Are we pushing the block into our head?
Yes, bottom block is being held into your head, and then you walk this all the way so it's touching the top blocks. So there's a moment of like trust. You feel that? Isn't that so good on your upper back? Yes. And so some interesting things that you might do while you're there is invite the tops of the shoulders to move away from the ears. And yeah, oh, nice, Alyssa. That was cool, your shoulders. And invite your shoulder blades to move down the back. Yes. It looks as supported and beautiful as it possibly could. So if anyone's feeling weird, make sure you say something. And if you like to give, if this is something that's interesting to you, but you're feeling like maybe not quite strong enough for the feet to lead the floor, and it's something that you'd like homework to help you, the little exercises that we did, the gliding and the dropping of the heart, you know, you could do those, each of those, maybe 10 times a day. Like some of you might be thinking like, oh, this takes a lot from my core. Yes, you are right. And so when you've had enough, or if you've had enough, come on down. And
before you make yourself upright, make sure you just take some good time along the way, getting reacquainted with being upright. So you might be... It does. It does. It, yeah. So something for me that even before I started practicing it like this, I've always done it so that there's no pressure on my head. And when you do that, when you take your neck out of the equation, you really get like, oh, legs are important. Core is super important. Arm and shoulders. So, which is good. It makes it much harder to get into. But if you... You know, I've just seen, like, some neck stuff. Yeah, absolutely. Even if you've never had a neck injury, if you want to sustain your practice, it's, like, really important to care for your neck. Like, thinking about, like, all of that weight, you know, on this narrow passage. Yeah, so any field notes about, yeah.
Okay.
Good.
Like flattened all the curved spots and curved all the flat spots.
Yeah. There's something about having the upper back supported that is like very enchanting. Yeah. So I feel like this shape alone is like good reason to have three blocks at home. Yeah. Anybody have questions or anything come up that was unexpected?
I was just surprised at how easy my feet come off the wall in that position.
Yeah, there's a shift when your upper back is supported. There's sort of like a shift in where our center is, I think.
Your core, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
Relying much more on.
Yeah. Yeah.
I just love this pose. I just love it.
Yeah. Me too. My teacher, Patricia Sullivan, taught me this. And she was, she's in her 60s, and she's, you know, trained with the Iyengars and did headstand the conventional way for a very long time and then had some neck trouble, some real neck trouble, and came up with this alternative. And I have been sold ever since.
Is there an amount of time that you should, or just sort of judge?
I think it depends, because so what I found after, so about a year ago, I did an experiment where every single day for a month I did headstand, and this was before I was doing this method. So I did headstand, handstand, and legs up the wall every single day, and I took notes about how I felt. And this particular pose can be a little vata inducing. It can make you feel a little bit scattered or even anxious, particularly this time of year when we're already in this, like the wind is blowing, it's really dry. So this time of year, I would not do it for a super long time. Maybe in the spring you could do like 12 breaths a day if that suited you. But this time of year, I wouldn't hang out there for ever and ever and ever. This time of year, I think really the legs up the wall is good to do, you know, every like night to like sort of, you know, it's like oatmeal for our energy system. And you should eat oatmeal too. So let's do that now. Let's now eat oatmeal. No, just kidding. Let's come to legs up the wall, which will be nice on the low back since our upper back got some real good juju there. And you might sort of squat on one side of your mat and come onto your booty and extend the legs up the wall and scooch your backside as close to the wall as you are able. And then let things just settle. Your hands might rest on the belly or next to your body, or you might even reach them up overhead. And if you feel like you could use some extra grounding, you might place something on your belly, like your blanket,
or your hands,
or even a brick. Yeah.
And just sort of notice. Gravity.
And you might find that your awareness sort of rests somewhere in your body. Or you might find that your awareness rests in your breath. And from here, we'll separate the feet just a little bit so they're about the width of your sitting bones, or if you'd like them a little wider, about the width of the hips. And we'll start to bend the knees and let the heels sort of slide partway down the wall. And then about halfway, press the soles of your feet into the wall, so you get a little bit of just this nice traction in the low and middle back. And let it go. And you might do that a couple of times where you press the feet into the wall and then let it go. And you might let the heels become even more heavy so that they come closer and closer to the backside. And as you do that, press the feet into the wall and let it go. You might separate your feet even more still so that they're, you know, almost the width of your mat. And depending on your shoulders or your upper body, it could feel interesting to breathe in and reach your arms, hands, and fingers toward the sky, and then breathe out and reach them up overhead, letting the elbows bend enough so that there's ease in the shoulders. And as you breathe out, just sort of windshield wiper your knees toward the right. So you're sort of pressing your inner left knee toward the wall, and you're pressing your outer right knee toward the place where the wall and the floor meet. And as you breathe in, bring them back to the center. And as you breathe out, sort of windshield wiper them the other way. And you might do that a couple of times at the pace of your own breath, maybe moving slower than the pace of your breath. And in time, coming back to the center, and you might hug your knees into your chest and just sort of sway from side to side. And then you might roll to your favorite side. Using the strength of the arms to bring the body back upright. And we'll take our time to ease into a shape of rest. And that could be lying on your back, or your side, or your belly, or sitting. And on the way there, you might, you know, just sort of roll the head from left to right across the floor. And you might make any last movements or adjustments that feel necessary. Let everything settle into your bones. And let your bones really settle into the earth, really yield to the support of the earth. Watching the breath as it blows across the bones and as it blows across the earth.
might begin to notice the sensation of your breath as it moves through your nostrils. Just bringing your awareness to what's already happening there. And from the nostrils, you might follow the path of your breath all the way down into the bottom of the bowls of the lungs. Notice how your body moves as you breathe. Might begin to invite movement to the periphery of your body, the fingers and the toes. And you might invite that movement to spread to the hands and the feet and the ankles and the wrists. Head and the neck. Until those movements have spread across the entire form. And moving just like you, I think as naturally as you possibly can, will transition from a shape of rest or integration to an upright, luminous seat. You might place your hands eventually, and there's never any rush. The backs of the hands might rest on the tops of the legs. And if you can remember or re-find your way to fear not, I am not afraid, mudra. in time, you might let your hands find their way to your heart in whatever shape or gesture or mudra feels natural. It doesn't have to be anything you've seen before. Thank you all for sharing this space and this practice and yourself. Namaste.
Sunrose Yoga. Reveal and remember your sacred nature through the practice of yoga. The Sunrose Yoga Podcast is a collection of audio recordings, videos, and writings about the practices of yoga. The podcast's mission is to share the teachings of yoga in an accessible way and to foster meaningful discussion about the practices. To learn more or to experience past teachings, please visit sunroseyoga.com. The Sunrose Yoga Podcast is made possible by the generous donations of students and supporters. If you find this podcast useful or beneficial, please consider making a secure online donation by clicking the donate button at sunroseyoga.com. And thanks.